Here we go! Because the run home just got a little bumpier.
You cannot be serious!
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And everything is looking sunny in Canterbury Bankstown, MG, the Bulldogs.
So, no, Trent. Leave Matty Burton alone.
Confirmation today that Matt Burton from the Panthers has signed on with the Bulldogs, not for 2021, but for 2022 and beyond. I want to get your reaction on that. And there's also been a sighting of a fox at Belmore.
I tell you what, the Trent Barrett has... I know he was back, the first coach out of all NRL clubs, back first after, I think, Monday after the grand final between Penrith and the Melbourne Storm. And I tell you what, he's been busy and he's hitting the jackpot each time he strikes.
A Pied Piper of Belmore. They're just following
him.
Wow,
it's an amazing. Bulldog fans, start getting excited.
Yeah, be excited. We're going to break down all the player movement madness because there has been a bit more today. We've also got another double to give away to the Sydney Super Fight, Mark Hunt v Paul Gallen. And that man, MG, look, let's pull back the curtain. We pre-recorded the interview.
Yep.
Because...
because we knew he was going to swear.
Because he swears.
We should be... I'd love to do a show where we just swear. Like they're pre-recorded.
Well,
podcast.
Well, you'll get an insight into what that would sound like in about 15 minutes' time when we play you the Mark Hunt interview. We've also pre-recorded it because it's a very dangerous name for me to say.
Yes, very much so.
And we found that on the replay as we edited it and went, ooh, that's a bit naughty. But
more tickets to give away to that fight as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to know your sport. You got to know your sport. The VIP package still up for grabs, but up next, MG, we got to talk player market, player movement madness. We've spoken about the Panthers. We've spoken about the Dogs. Warriors fans.
Jerome Hughes.
Ooh. And a familiar face might be returning to the NRL. It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Falling in love. Aerosmith, I haven't heard that for ages.
Well, Bulldogs fans will be falling in love with the news of the day.
Trending now.
Matt Burton has signed a 2-year deal to join the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs from 2022 onwards, MG.
Pass me a tissue, Tito. Jermaine, stop teasing. Look, sometimes, you know, success puts you right in the spotlight when you're a footy club, and that's what's done to Penrith. 17 wins in a row, and even though Matty Burton didn't play many of them, it's the glimpses we've seen of him in first grade that have captured the imagination. He's an out-and-out first grader, and by the time he finishes his tenure at Penrith, he'll be ready to roll the doggies.
Mm. Well, and now, I mean, you add him to the list that the Bulldogs signings that the Bulldogs have already made in this off-season. We know they've got Kyle Flanagan after the Roosters were prepared to let him go, MG. Nick Kotrick from the Raiders.
Hetherington from Penrith. Corey Waddell from Manly. Now Burton and maybe the Fox.
Well, and that's the other news that Adrian Prezenko of the Sydney Morning Herald reported that Josh Adokar was seen touring the facilities yesterday afternoon at Belmore.
This is turning into a fun team, isn't it?
Ooh.
I mean, they released a lot of salary cap pressure.
That's the other element to this story, which is obviously Kieran Foran, no longer at the club. Aidan Tolman has gone. And Blake Green was the other one, not on huge cash, but he was going to be there, but not able to play because of that knee injury, and he's obviously staying with the Knights now.
So things are starting to really fall into place for the Bulldogs, where in the last few years they've been very unlucky.
And, I mean, the Josh Adokar is an interesting one.
Yeah.
He's still only 25 years of age, but the other name that has been thrown about, MG...
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me.
S. Crichton.
No, mate.
S. Crichton.
Mate.
Jeez, you'd want to get that handshake deal sort
of. Tell me, dream.
Where's the CCTV footage of that handshake?
I could not bear to lose the biggest talent in the game.
It's very exciting times for Bulldogs fans. There is other news reported, MG. The Warriors reportedly into
Throwing big cash at him.
Mm.
Big cash.
Do you like the move?
I like the move if you're Jerome Hughes. Obviously, Melbourne Storm are limited to what they can pay him. I think around five they've offered him or something like that. And the Warriors have gazumped that. And I think that nearly $700,000, $800,000. Why would you not take it?
Hard to say no to.
You've won the comp.
He's a premiership.
You've won your comp. Now it's about making your family stable and having a great life after rugby league, which I think every rugby league player is entitled to.
And actually, I think that's a quote attributed to Stephen Crichton as well. So,
let it go.
Jerome Hughes as well is just that classic Melbourne Storm story.
Classic. And the uncanny thing about the Melbourne Storm is that they uncover them stories every bloody year, and they continue to do it. And the latest one is also Gareth Widdop has been rumoured to be heading towards the Cowboys.
Familiar face headed back. We know he was desperate to get out of the Dragons to get back home to the UK.
Yeah.
He's been back, and now the reports are that he's keen to get back to Australia for family reasons as well.
Well, like Matt Burton, young Clifford, Jake Clifford, has signed from the Cowboys to go to the Knights in 2022. So all these little machinations are coming together, and again, silly season, bring it on.
Jumping about.
As long as Crichton stays at Penrith, that's all.
Yeah, gee, they want to get... for mine, MG, the longer it goes on...
Don't get nicked, mate.
I'm just saying.
You go back to your Titans and worry about them being the overachievers of the competition next year.
What's the worst a team has finished after making a grand... after losing a grand final? Like, have they ever missed out on the eight?
I'd say it'd be a wooden spoon.
Right.
But don't think... Oh, look at you. Look at you. You're a buffhead, you are, Liam Flanagan.
All right, I'm just getting all my bravery out the way because up next, Mark Hunt's going to join us, and I'm not going. I'm very brave over the phone, MG, but not even to this man.
No.
Am I prepared to be any sort of a smartass? Mark Hunt, the Super Samoan, fights against Paul Gallen. We're being honest with you. This is a pre-recorded interview coming up next because he swears profusely.
Yeah. Beep 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 beep. Go so, Gordon Ramsay style.
Yeah, exactly. Samoa's worst kitchens coming up next. Nightmare kitchens, that's what it is. The Rush Hour with MG and Liam, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. MG, it's hump day. People might be feeling a little, you know, lacking in motivation on their Wednesday.
Always.
We're ready to get them pumped up.
Oh, yeah. Let's get ready to rumble, baby.
December 16th, yep. Bankwest Stadium, the Sydney Super Fight. It's Paul Gallen v. this man who joins us on the line now, the legend, the Super Samoan, Mark Hunt. G'day, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you for your time, brother. I know you're busy with your training and whatnot, but I imagine now that we're only, you know, three or four weeks away from the fight that we're seeing a lot more chatter between you and Paul Gallen. And how much of that affects you leading up to a fight, if any at all?
It doesn't affect me at all, to be honest. You know, I've been doing this business for a long, long time, so actually quite fun. I've got the passion back and hunger back for fighting, which is quite good, and it's good time to end my career.
Looking at your Instagram, you're looking sharp. You're looking good. Are you feeling... How are you feeling compared with years prior?
Orange iced tea with rose.
Thanks.
And lemon.
I appreciate
sorry,
it.
What are you ordering? What are you ordering? Having some lemon and tea there, are you?
No, I was just I'm waiting for my appointment at the stretch lab, and this Baba Yaga was closed, but he came and gave me a tea. It looked like I needed some cheese. Well, thanks. yeah.
Now, Mark, I was saying that looking at your Instagram, you look fit. You look good. You look sharp. How are you feeling compared to years gone by?
Well, I'm getting there. I'm looking, like I said, I've got a passion back for fighting. We made a good deal. And, you know, Paul's a credible, he's a guy that's, he challenged me this like 5 years ago, you know. He does say he's a part-time fighter, but, you know, I don't know if there's any part-time fighter, just like part-time gangsters. They don't exist.
Yeah,
you know, so to be honest, I don't know where he gets that from, that part-time garbage. I mean, I don't know where he, you know, where he gets that shit from, but, you know, like, I don't think he's watched Karate Kid, you know what I mean? Mr. Miyagi always said, you know, karate do or karate don't. Not karate f***ing maybe. You know? And that's f***ing Paul Gallen, the maybe guy.
Well, I kind of agree. I think he's got to be a boxer now. I've watched every one of his, I think, 11 fights, and he's improved every time he's jumped in the ring. And his last fight against Barry Hall, it was a split decision, and it kind of couldn't have went either way. And do you watch tape of his old fights, and do you agree that every fight he's kind of getting stronger?
Yeah, it was. I was at that fight supporting. I was a bit drunk while I was watching, but anyone that's got an attitude of like I'm a part-time fighter, well, you're in the wrong business. This ain't no game. You can't pass the footy to anyone. It's just you run that shit straight. Run that shit straight out the gut. So, like I said, there's no part-time garbage here. It's full-time. It's all in.
When it comes to your arsenal, Mark, the hands, that's what matters most. I was seeing that you're getting some localised cryotherapy on the hands. How are they feeling?
Good. You know, our lab is open in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks. So I'm looking forward to, you know, got to get the recovery and after all the hard work, getting beaten up all week by all these guys. It's just, and plus I'm 46, so, you know, but I'm not here to make excuses. I'm here to kick ass.
In your illustrious career, which spans a couple of decades now, even longer, in K1 and MMA, who's been the guy who has, A, hit you the hardest, and who's been the guy that you've hit the hardest?
The guy that's me. I'm always the guy that's ruined my own shit, and B is me. So I mean, no one ruined themselves but yourself. You know what I'm saying?
I do, mate. Look, you made famous the walk-off. That was your patent, and no one never done it before. You did it, and all of a sudden, your powers came into the ring, and it was extraordinary. I think this fight is going to be one of it's going to be frantic. Have you got without giving too much away? Have you got a bit of a game plan up your sleeve?
Yeah, my game plan is to beat the crap out of Paul Gallant on September the 16th. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an exciting night, and I think this is going to be awesome for Australian boxing. We're going to see if Paul Gallen has got what it takes to get to put it past me. I'm not taking away from the guy he's fought before, but I don't think he's been in a deep water.
Oh, I cannot wait to see this fight, the Sydney Super Fight. Gallen v. Hunt, December 16, Bankwest Stadium. Get your tickets at Ticket Tech. Mark Hunt, best of luck for the final weeks of your preparation, and good luck for the fight.
Thanks, guys. Yes, sir.
There it is.
Yes.
What a chat.
Yeah, we've seen them both doing their work before the fight. Mm. Gal's been, Gal's fit as a fiddle.
Gal's look good.
Gal's looking real good. And I think Mr. Hunt will have to bring his best to beat him. It's going to be, I can't wait to watch it.
If he fights half as well as he talks, it's going to be an absolute belter. All right, now's the time. 1-2-3-5-3. You want to win tickets to that Sydney Super Fight. We've got a VIP package if you're good enough to get through the 5-round knockout quiz, MJ.
Let's not forget Tim Zhu. He's fighting on that card. Come on.
All respect to Tim Zhu. He is the champ. We'll get to him next.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. Adam Mad Dog McDougall is going to join us very shortly, MG. Pre-season.
It sends chills up my spine as soon as you say them words together.
Pre-season. We're talking pre-season up next with Mad Dog. We want to hear some war stories from the past of what you two went through in your football careers. But first,
on Triple M's Rush Hour, you are a knob.
No, I'm not.
It's Knob or Not.
Knob or Not takes no prisoners, MG.
It does not.
We don't punch up, we don't punch down, we just punch.
Even if you're a goat.
Exactly. And that's what we're talking about today. We're punching at a goat. Tom Brady, six-time Super Bowl champion, the goat.
Greatest of all time as far as quarterbacks go.
And he might be a knob. And I want to ask you that question.
Okay.
Because what's happened? He's lost the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who he now plays for.
Yep.
They were defeated by the Los Angeles Rams this week. There's a tradition in the NFL, which is that the quarterbacks of the respective teams meet post-game, midfield, shake hands.
Yep.
Bit of a symbolic thing as the leaders of their respective teams. Now, Tom does this. He does this with Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. Yep. He does this with, Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints. He didn't do it with Jared Goff of the Los Angeles Rams.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. And he didn't do it against Nick Foles when the Chicago Bears defeated them earlier this year as well.
Is there a history? Is there a Super Bowl history with these guys?
Well, he did lose a Super Bowl against Nick Foles when he was playing for the Philadelphia Eagles.
The plot thickens.
He defeated Jared Goff in a Super Bowl.
Okay.
But it's a strange one.
Well, it seems to me that Tommy's getting a little bit big for his boots, isn't it? Like, really. And you know what? I think you see the real make of a man during adversity more so than you do whilst he's riding the wave of success. And obviously he's not with his famous team anymore. Mm. And he's playing with a team that's second rate. The Patriots are the Patriots. Let's face facts. And I say to you that Brady, for all his success, by not shaking your opponent's hand after a game, win, lose, or draw, makes you a massive, massive knob. I'm sorry, Tom, but you're a knob.
A Greg Norman-sized knob.
Well, I don't even think anyone could be that big a knob.
In Brady, look, I'll present a defense.
That knob was in Jaws.
Brady, when he didn't shake hands with Nick Foles and he was questioned about it, Brady says he has a relationship with some quarterbacks and he doesn't.
Oh, come on, Tom. You're better than that, mate. You've won 6 championships. You know the rules. You know the etiquette. You know when you're coming through as a young bloke. If Dan Marino or one of the most famous...
Name another one.
Joe Montana. Warren Moon.
Johnny Unitas.
Any of them. If they didn't shake your hand, you would have went home and... Well, that's what's happened. That's what's happened, mate. You've got to be better than that. You've got to, even in adversity, you've got to show the true mark of a man is his hand. And when you shake it, that's as good as you got.
Come on, Tom.
You're better than that.
Cut it out.
You're better than being a knob.
Stop this knobbish behaviour. We expect to see you shake hands regardless of who the quarterback is next week.
When you listen to this on the podcast from your home over there in Florida.
Mm. Well, Giselle listens and tells Tom.
She does Pilates while she listens. Yep, good on you, Giselle. Tommy, do better. That's all, mate. Do better.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. Adam Mad Dog McDougal joins us next.
Boom.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. Now, MG, some NRL clubs are already back into the swing of it.
Yeah,
working
scary,
hard,
scary.
Out on the track.
It's the thing that made me retire, to be honest. I know I got shown how slow I'd become, but thinking about preseason training and what you've got to go, your body's got to go through, that's an easy way to say, not this year.
Yeah, well, next Monday we'll know whether Josh Alloway is actually running the track with the Tigers or
mowing
lawns. West Tigers back on Monday. But to talk a little bit more about the preseason, what it's like at the elite level, we bring in friend of the show, host of the Health Hacker podcast. You can get it at podcastoneaustralia.com.au or wherever you get your podcast. Adam Mad Dog McDougal. G'day, Mad Dog.
G'day, boys. How are we?
We are bloody fantastic, mate, and I'm glad I'm not doing pre-season training like most of these NRL teams who are going back. I suppose it'd be everybody but the Origin players would be back on board and maybe those who played in the grand final. But Mad Dog, how much did you dislike pre-season training and have you got any horror stories for our listeners?
Yeah, you'd always get that sick feeling in your gut when you do that nervousness about that first session back. You know, being probably more of a faster outside back, I didn't have the same nerves and I suppose fears that a lot of the forwards had when they come back and they knew they were going to get fat tested, which was probably the scariest thing for these blokes where the calipers would go around that waistline and if they were deemed to be in the fat group, they knew that every single morning they'd have to get up at 5 o'clock and they'd have to obviously do extra training sessions and also, I suppose, wear the embarrassing label of being in the fat group, being a fatso. So a lot of nerves for these fatter players coming back to training this week.
I used to shudder. In my early days of grade, I used to be, you know, right up there. I loved pre-season training. And as a young bloke from, you know, 17 to about 21, I was okay. But then all of a sudden, I hated doing it. And then in my season at Balmain, I remember Jonesy used to make us do the Bay Run, which is about 8 or 9 Ks. And myself and Jason Sinclair, I've told this story before, but we hatched the plan to run a couple of Ks, jump in a cab, and then we jumped out a K from the finish line, splashed ourselves with water. And Jonesy's sitting there going, there he is. Look at him. There's my new recruit. There's my new recruit coming first in the Bay Run, and we'd only run 2.5 K. So, but at Penrith, Mad Dog, in 1987, when I first started playing first grade, Tim Sheens, who was a bit of a disciplinarian as far as that goes, he brought in the 2.5 time trial. And as a forward, you had to do it in 10 minutes. As a back, you had to do it in 9.5 minutes. And if you didn't do the time, you weren't playing first grade. So we do this every once a week until, you know, about 6 weeks into the competition. And two of our better players, Brad Izzard and Daryl Broman, they both couldn't crack the 10-minute or 9.5 minutes. So we used to train at Howell Oval, the cricket oval right next to Penrith Park, and just run laps of that. It was about 8 laps of that oval was the time trial. And then by the last lap or the second last lap, we'd realise that Daryl and Brad weren't going to make the time because we wanted them in first grade. We'd be behind them, pushing them all the way, pushing them along, going, come on, boys. Come on, boys. You've got to cut it by 4 seconds. Let's go. And they didn't do it. They languished in reserve grade for a long period of time because they couldn't break that time given to them on the 2.5 time trial. And I suppose these days it stays the same. These days you've still got things you've got to beat and times you've got to required to play first grade. But I don't think the training's as hard as it was back when we played. I'm not trying to disrespect what they do these days. It's a lot more powerful these days. But I don't think it was as long and arduous as when we played.
No, definitely. And another invention they brought in was called the RPE, Rate of Perceived Exertion, which basically gives footballers an opinion, which you don't want to do, MG. So they actually get to rate how hard a session is, and these sports scientists then go away and say to the coach, look, guys, you know, these guys have said that was a 10 out of 10 hard session. Maybe they need a rest tomorrow. So they don't realise how smart footballers are, you know. Like, you know, every session's a 10, boys. Yeah. Don't worry about that. You can't have two of them in a row. So,
well, then you'd say to someone at training, who was the bastard who said it was a 7 out of 10? Who was it? Come on, man. It's every session's a 10. Remember the rules.
remember the rules. So, look, I mean, they're a lot more well-paid too these days. So the last thing you want to do as a sports trainer or a fitness trainer is break someone that's on $1 million a year. So they're certainly treading a lot more carefully with the players now, and they're certainly not flogging them in the sense that they did in our era when I first started as well. You know, it was absolute torture. And, yeah, a lot of it was just really punishment-based and mental toughness-based, whereas now it's about performance-based, which means not hurting the athlete, making sure they preserve their body so they don't get injured throughout the season.
You don't send a Ferrari to plow a field. Adam, Mad Dog McDougall. Yeah, you can keep that one. You can use that one. Mad Dog,
yes.
An absolute pleasure. You're a friend of the show. The podcast is a perfect bit of downtime listening for anybody out there in the Rush Hour family. The Health Hacker, it's available at podcast1australia.com.au or wherever you get your podcast. Been a pleasure to have you on board again this year, Mad Dog. We cannot wait to have you back in 2021.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for having me involved in such a great program and bringing so much fun and laughs to my week, guys. So thanks again.
Good on you, Mad Dog. You're a champion, brother. We love you.
Yes, absolutely. MG, we got to go. Tomorrow on the show, Aaron Finch, the captain of the Aussie One Day side.
Yep.
They'll be striding out onto the SCG Friday night. Can't wait to speak to Finchy.
And the draw comes out for the 2021 NRL season.
Yes.
The winners and losers. We'll talk about them tomorrow night on the show. And as always, thank you so much for your ears. Here's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.